Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise God. Well, I'm still reveling in the revelation. Is it okay to revel in the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ that Mark brought forward this morning? Now today and today only do I give Mark Jenkins credit for this revelation. Henceforth it shall be mine. Well, not really. Okay, maybe one more time. I don't know. Open up to John, the first chapter, and then you might put a marker over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I think that's where we're going to wind up tonight. I just love the way that the Holy Spirit brings forth truth at the prayer center. It is very much line upon line, here a little, there a little. I'm afraid to ever miss a service. You know, and I thank God that the services are recorded and that we have access to them. I've been catching up from while I was gone, listening to Alan's messages, and because I'm afraid I'll miss something. I'm so glad that I was here today to hear what, you know, this that was taught this morning. I had never seen this progression, and so now, what's happened? Once you get another little key, you get another little understanding. Now the whole day. Other verses now are starting to come online. It's starting to connect the dots a little more. You know, my understanding is going a little deeper now. See, and I know it's going to be that way for a while, so hang on. Here we go. So in review, he started in John chapter 1 here, and I just loved it. John chapter 1, verse 14. And talking about the glory of the Lord. See, John 1, 14 says, the Word, we know who that is, the Word. Talking about the second member of the Godhead. We could go right back to the beginning here. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Nothing was made without Him. It's talking about that second member of the Godhead who has always been. There has never been a time, like who was it? It says you can go back in history as far as you can go back and He's always been forever since then. Our minds, we have trouble with that. You know. But Him, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Well, what kind of glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, it's not talking about the glory that He had in heaven for all eternity. We're going to see that real clear in John 17 here in a minute. We're going to go over there in a minute. No, He's talking about at that moment on planet Earth, when the Word was made flesh, there was only one flesh creature, if I can use that, only one human clothed in flesh on planet Earth that had life on the inside of him. You say it another way, there was only one spiritually born offspring, the only begotten, only one, and that's Him, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And that's the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So I wrote in my margin right there when it says the glory as of the only begotten, I put sonship. He's the only one. There are no other spiritually born sons of God walking the planet at that moment, just Him. That's the glory that He had. That's the glory that He says we got to behold. All right, come over to chapter 2, and this is where He turned the water into wine. Everyone's familiar with that story, the very first miracle. So John chapter 2, verse 11 says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. And notice how it's worded. And manifested forth His glory. Well, what glory? Well, it's the same glory that we just read about back there in chapter 1. This is the glory of sonship. This is the glory that belongs to the sons of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost. It's that glory of sonship. Now go over to John 17. Dave first broke this for us on the Born Again Trail. And he had to lead us line by line into it. I mean, it was too much for me, you know. It's still too much for most of my denominational brethren. If I was to go to the church where I grew up, and I don't even know if you could read these verses and not get in trouble, much less preach on them. Just read the verses, you might be in trouble. But look at verse 22. He says, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Well, he's just talking about the 12, right? Just the 12. When the apostles died, that glory ended. Oh, wait a minute. Let's back up here just a little bit. Verse 20, leading up, says, Neither pray I for these alone. Well, that's the 12. That's the ones that were his disciples right then, probably more than 12, you know, but that's the ones that were there then. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Well, one way or another, you believed on Jesus through the words of those men. Somebody preached some of their words to you, whether it was Paul's writings, Peter's writings, somebody. And you believed. He is actually talking about us. Us. That they all may be one. But so he comes down to verse 22 again. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they all may be one, even as we are one. Now let's back up. There's more than one kind of glory. Let's back up in that same chapter. Look at verse 5. Where he says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, Jesus of Nazareth, the human, the Son of God, Son of Man, don't write me any letters, I understand, okay? But he had a beginning. Isaiah prophesied, he said, to us a child is born, a son is given. See, the Son has always been the second member of the Godhead, the Word. He was given. But the child, the one we know now as Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, he had a beginning. The moment he was conceived in the womb of Mary, the child was conceived and eventually the child was born. The Son was given. The Son has always been. So when he says here, glorify me with the glory I had with thee before the world was. Well, that's not Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, that's not in his humanity. He's talking now about who he was as deity. He was with the Father forever before the world was. He's not giving us that glory. Now, there's some cults that say he did, that, you know, now you're a little God. No. You're a child of God. Just like God originally made Adam in his own image. And you could read the genealogy in Luke chapter 3, I believe it is. Going all the way back to Adam, and it cuts back to him, and it says Adam, who was the son of God. But he was a man made in the image of God. He had the life of God on the inside of him. It does not mean he was deity. He was man made in the image of God. That's the glory that Jesus has given us. So over here, he's not telling his that, you know, we're going to be gods now. We're going to be, you know, it's the the Trinity has now become a fifthity and a sixthity and a 192ndity. No, the Trinity is the Trinity. He's not adding to the Godhead here. But he is adding to his family. Children, human beings, born in the image of God. And when he says here, the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them. Boy, if you write in the margin of your Bible right there, you need to write the word sonship. And you know what revival is? That's when John chapter 2 begins to happen with us. And we begin to manifest the glory that he's given us. Remember Chuck the duck? He was really a duck but raised by chickens. That's what's been happening with the body of Christ for hundreds of years. Offspring of God raised on chicken food. Taught you're just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're just a chicken. You're not a duck. You're just an old chicken. You can't fly. You can't swim. You're just an old chicken. Just an old sinner saved by grace. You're not changed. You need to scratch around and eat some more worms. That's what you need to do. Do you remember what happened? Those ducks came and landed on the pond. And they said, look at us. Look at you. Look at your reflection. That's the verse we're going to look at, 2 Corinthians 3 here. Look at your reflection. They could have said, look at our glory and compare it with you. He said, look, you have a bill just like us. You have webbed feet just like us. Come on, get in the water. You won't sink. I don't care what the chickens told you. I don't care what you heard in church that only Jesus can do that. Because he said, the works that I do shall you do also and greater than these, but not if you believe you're a chicken. So finally that Chuck the duck, he gets out on the water, and sure enough, he doesn't sink. He can paddle right along with them, and he's just, it's great, you know. And all of a sudden, one of the ducks says, now follow me. And that duck begins flapping and flapping and flapping, going faster and faster. And Chuck the duck's right behind him, you know, and he's going, I've seen them fly over before, but they always told me I couldn't do it because I'm really just an old chicken saved by grace. Is this a perfect parable or what? But all of a sudden, that duck ahead of him, he lifted off, and he just kept going and kept going and kept going, and pretty soon, Chuck the duck, he flew also. Did y'all hear the rest of the parable that happened later? Later on, those ducks took him to meet the Lord duck. There was a Lord duck who was the head of all the ducks. Yeah. And Chuck finally got to go be in his presence. You know, we teach a lot here about worship. Spend a lot of time in worship, you get to meet the Lord duck. He come in, he says, What could I do to please you? It's so wonderful to meet you. What could I do that pleases you? And the Lord duck says, you want to please me? Fly, boy. Fly. God, that is where we are going. Manifest the glory of the sonship that has been given unto us, that we manifest that same glory the same way he manifested that glory. Now we all know it's the anointing of the Holy Ghost working together with Christ in us, our hope of glory. But we cannot be mentally trapped in a chicken world when we're truly ducks. Now, I can preach this here because you guys are familiar with Chuck the Duck. I'd have to lay a lot of foundation other places. Amen? Is this good or what? So let's go to second. So you see now, the glory which thou gavest me, the sonship that I had when I was born of Mary, born a child of God, that glory that you gave me as your son, I have now given it to them. God. And the next verse, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Can you tell he's not talking about horizontal perfectness there? He's talking about a vertical oneness. Remember what Jesus said? I and my Father are one. You, Christ, the Father, you are one. There's lots of ministries that preach about open heavens. Open heaven is wherever you go, because you are one with your Father. You don't need an atmosphere either. They can be slicing ears off and you can still do miracles. Amen? You are the openness. You are the gateway. You are the key. You have the glory that has been given to you. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. I'm glad that point came out again today. Hey, again, with my hairy legs, if I'm Eve, I am. I'm part of the bride of Christ, aren't I? If I'm Eve, you're a son, women. There is no male nor female. You're just as much an heir as any hairy leg guy out there. Amen? Got the same inheritance. Makes no difference at all. All right. Now let's go over to second. What? I've been meditating on this all day long, thinking about this. And other verses are starting to, like pieces of the puzzle, starting to come together. Old Testament, new. It always explodes both directions in me. It goes both ways. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:18, which has been one of my favorite verses. My whole life, my whole Christian life, I knew there was power in this verse. But now it's coming even more so. Now that this glory, it's just, I needed that little nugget, that little bit, help go a little farther. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, we've all preached this forever in 3 days. But notice it says, but we all, see, I knew Paul was from the South, y'all, anyway. But we all, sorry, with open face, with open face, beholding as in a mirror. I know it says glass in the King James, but that means mirror. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And it became so much clearer to me what glory he's talking about. Not the glory of the word God, but the glory of the sonship. First, he was the only one. But why is it a mirror? Because the glory that the Father gave him, he has given that same glory to us. We behold his glory. We behold him. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He was the first man born with that glory since the fall of Adam. We can learn from Hebrews 11, was my favorite chapter. It's still, they're all my favorite chapters, but anyway, you know, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, we can learn from all of those guys, but the truth of it is not one of them, it says not one of them received the promise. God have, that we they without us should be made perfect. God having something better in mind for us, we have something they never had. They never had that glory of sonship. But Jesus says he's given it to us. Well, no wonder we look in a mirror. We behold the glory of the Lord. See, and I always, part of me, I think, always thought, well, the, you know, mixing it with the, mixing the two glories together. The glory that he has as God, which he talks about in John 17. But the only thing that makes sense here, see, I can look in that mirror till he comes. And it's never going to make me God. But if I look in that mirror, it will make me like him. Because he has given me that same standing of sonship. Now, if you ever want to have two chapters, it uses the word glory to you about, you know, about overuse it. It's 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. Over and over again, it talks about glory, glory, glory. So let's get a little context surrounding this verse here. We got time tonight. We'll pick it up here. Well, let's start in verse 1. There's nowhere to... He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles like letters of recommendation to you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. What's that talking about? The Ten Commandments, but in fleshly tables of the heart. We could go to Ezekiel. I'm going to take out that old hard heart, and I'm going to put in you a heart of flesh, one that's tender and moldable again. I'm going to take out that old dead spirit out of you and put my spirit on the inside of you. That's the new birth being prophesied. Hebrews talks about, he says, no, you don't have to go around saying, know the Lord. They will all know me from the least to the greatest, for I will put my laws into their minds and in their hearts. You don't need the tables of stone to know right and wrong now. He put it on the inside of us. Such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now here he starts talking about this glory. For if the ministration of death, what in the world is that? The ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. Which one, what was written and engraven in stones? That's the Ten Commandments he's talking about, the law, the beginning of the law. But he says it was glorious. Notice it was glorious. It was so glorious that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory, now notice, was to be done away, not permanent. If that was glorious, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that, I told you it had glory all through these chapters. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, there was glory. There was glory. God was dealing with his, with spiritually dead children. He was manifesting the glory the only way that he could to them. And it was enough to even cause the face of Moses to shine. But see, that shining was going to fade because it was a temporary covenant, not permanent. We're going to get to the face of Jesus Christ if we have time tonight. The glory that shines there, it's not fading away. That's why we with open face, your glory of sonship is not fading away either. There's not another covenant coming. You are in the glorious covenant now. Hallelujah. Amen. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. What he's really saying there, until you get born again, here we go again. This is another place to read this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Until you get born again, you can't really understand the Old Testament. All of the types and shadows, that veil only comes down once you get born again. Then you have a capacity to understand what God was doing through all of the Old Testament sacrifices and the types and the shadows. That veil is done away in Christ. For even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They can't see it as long as they have that spirit of the world on the inside of them. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, and I believe that means your heart, when your heart turns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Glory to God. Here's a good type and shadow. The day when Jesus was on the cross, and he says, I can't say it, Adonai, Adonai, I can't say it. When it is finished, and he says he breathed his last. Remember the veil? Which history tells us that rascal was 4 inches thick and about 20 foot tall. And that thing was rent, torn in two from the top to the bottom. That veil is done away. The veil, his flesh, was the veil done away. I've often wondered, now this is free, this is extra. I've often wondered, see, because for the religious people, God lived behind that veil. But see, that was the end of that covenant. That veil was rent, and anybody can look and walk around in there and they can tell God's not in there anymore. So in order for the Pharisees and Sadducees to keep their control of the people, I wonder how long it took them to sew that veil back up. They had to. Oh yeah, he's still in there. You can't go in there. You'll die. Nope. That's religion for you. Hire 100 seamstresses. We got to get that veil fixed tonight. Anyway. Verse 16. Now when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And all of that leading up to our famous verse. But we all with open face. See, not like Moses who put a veil over his face. We with open face. You just go right to Jesus. Just look at him in the Word. You're seeing the glory of a son anointed by the Holy. Now, he is the son. Don't get me wrong. I have a good file cabinet for letters, by the way. It's round. Anyway. Well, some of them are good. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What glory? The glory of sonship. The same glory that he gave us. That's why we can look in the mirror. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Because I've given you that same glory. I know I'm about to have a running fit myself. I've given you that same glory. We're changed into the same image. Now, it's not overnight. I wish it said overnight. At your first glance, you're changed. Is that what it says? No, from glory to glory. It's progressive the way I understand it. even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, meaning he's not through talking yet. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth. Now, what does that mean? Manifestation of the truth. He's talking about not preaching the word, the gospel in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Manifestation of the truth. You could say right there, manifestation of the glory we've been given. Manifestation of the sonship we've been given. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, that word, those two words aren't there. What if we put, lest the light of the gospel of glory, or what if we put, lest the light of the gospel of sonship of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Did you know when you got born again, it was Genesis chapter 1 all over again? In you was darkness. You were void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. I know that's how it was with Gary. God says, light be. The moment I got born again and I asked Jesus to come in my heart, that was Genesis all over again for Gary. Light be. Light was. And there was a new creature born on me, on the inside of me. I was born of God's Spirit. I didn't know it. I'm just now really learning about it. But there was a glory given to me that I didn't know very much about. And that glory is the glory of sonship. The glory of a son of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost, thank you very much, on the same mission as the firstborn, except he's already accomplished the cross for us. However, there is mention of your cross. That's another night. Whoa! Help me, Jesus. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of what? Of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the glory that we've been given. That's not the glory of the eternal word. That's the glory of sonship, that we can look in his face. How do you do that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and pray in the Spirit till he stands up on the inside of you and you go, Then you want to worship right there. And he'll let you. And then he says, the glory that the Father gave me, I've given you. Oh, Lord, how can I please you? How can I please you? Fly. Fly, boy. Drive the car. Was that the analogy? Drive the car. Fly. See, we're coming to that time where we'll worship not just in spirit, but we're going to worship in spirit and in truth. And how you do it in truth is when you begin to fly. Manifest that glory. The glory of the offspring of the living God. Can you feel revival is closer? I can feel it. I literally can feel it. We're closer now than we was this morning. I know it. Man, these two chapters, you know, I'll be honest with you. These two chapters before were just kind of boring. You know, the glory of this and the glorious that and the glory of that over there. And then there was the glory of the glory that was not glory, but now it's more glorious because of the glory. But all of a sudden I'm going, oh my God. I mean, there was glory with the old covenant, all right, but it's like nothing compared to this glory of sonship we've been given. It was like nothing. And we look at the miracles that were wrought under that old covenant, under that, my Lord, the miracles that were done, the power that was displayed. And this is saying, by virtue of what we've received, it was like, had no glory almost compared to what we have. And we're sitting around like eating chicken food and chicken churches. Can't do this and can't do that. Just an old chicken saved by grace. And all the time he's going, fly, boy. Fly, daughter, fly. I'm liking it. Now, it doesn't mean the devil's going to leave you alone, you know. Did you notice these next verses? Don't you wish they weren't in your Bible? For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. I know he attended the prayer center. Somebody the other day was trying to, I forget where I was. I think I was up in Columbus. And they were saying, talking about Mark 4, you know, and how the devil comes to steal the word. I said, well, if you want to see the epitome of that, just look at Paul over in what we call the chapter 11. You know, when the devil filed a chapter 11. Shipwrecked, beaten, feet broken by rods, peril of this and peril of that. And why? What was all of that about? Because of the abundance of my revelations, the amount of the word that he understood and was walking in. That's Mark 4, see? Say, no, the more I get this, the more the devil leaves me alone. No, the more you get this, the more he tries to stop you. But the more he can't. Now notice it says, we are troubled on every side. I don't think Paul's lying here. Yet not distressed. Trouble on every side. We're not distressed. We are perplexed, meaning you don't always understand every little thing that's going on. Perplexed. You ever been perplexed? There's perplexity. But we are not in despair. You can walk in peace even when your mind does not understand everything that's going on. I'm telling you, you can walk in the peace of God. One of my favorite series of Pastor Dave is peace, the aggressive weapon of God. God, I love it. How about verse 9? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, to me, this has twofold meaning. Based on what he's just been talking about, what he's saying is we're going to go where he sends us, and it doesn't matter what the devil does. We don't have to ask, should we go? If he says go, and the devil says, if you go, you're going to die. Well, if he said go, we're going. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. If that's the mission, here we go. But there's also another fold, which you'll see as we go through this. He's also talking about mortifying the flesh. Not letting the flesh have dominion over you. Mortifying it. So always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You got to remember the obedience that he was really talking about. That the captain of our salvation was not made perfect without the suffering of obedience. Obedience under what? The death of his body. Death on the cross. There's a death on your cross too. Death on Gary's cross. Does my body like it? No, it doesn't like it. It's never going to like it. But we do it, it says, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. His life, where you go. This is why he just got through saying, we have this treasure. What is the treasure? It's the life of Jesus. It's that sonship. It's the very life force that you are, generated from the spawned from the last man, Adam. And you have it in earthen vessels. See? That life can be manifest out of an earthen vessel. Glory to God. For we which live are always... Now, they've changed it, Dave. In the old King James, it used to say all way, like all the way, but this is a King James, and now it says always. How about we say it this way? We which live are delivered all the way to death for his sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He was wearing mortal flesh too. His spirit was from God, but his body was descended from Adam. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been tempted in all points like we are. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now get this. All things are for your sake. If you really want to know the truth of it, that's another way of Romans 8:29, where it says we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. What he's saying is, as you go through this process of that glory being manifested in your spirit, but yet death in your body, and you're going through this transformation process from glory to glory, you can know that all things are for your sake. This whole gospel is God reaching out to save us, reaching out to save man. Everything he did and everything he's doing, it's for you. Glory to God and all those that we will reach. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Alan's been teaching, I think, so wonderfully, and it's been helping me too. The devil is. He's constantly trying to get me to believe that I am my flesh. And he says, no, that's who you're fighting against. Your flesh is not you. But the devil wants me to think it is. Always showing me failures from my past. Always showing me where I don't measure up. Always showing me this and that and trying to get me to believe that's who I am. And that's not who I am. There's an outward man that's perishing day by day. Confession doesn't seem to work on slowing down the gray hair. It just doesn't seem to work on it. My outward man is perishing day by day. But the inward man, you're not dying on the inside, honey. You are renewed day by day, and you will be for all eternity. You've already, and you're, the real you has already done all the dying you're ever going to do. I like it how Dave and Alan and others, one day you're just walking along and people are seeing you and you hear a gasp. Go, ah! Well, I wonder what they're gasping about. And you look around and your body's laying behind you. And you took a step and your body didn't take that step with you. And you're going, finally it'll dawn on you. Well, sure enough, my flesh was not me. My flesh was not me. Ed Allen was right the whole time. The inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction. Now, what's he been talking about, this light affliction? Troubled on every side. We are perplexed, persecuted, but not cast down. This light affliction, plus restraining the body from all of the appetites and lusts of the flesh. And that's more than just sin. You have to restrain. You know, there's part of Gary that still wants to have a giant ministry. There's a part in my, it's not me. It's the old Gary. The ugly Gary, mean Gary. Jealous Gary, envious Gary. That Gary. The one y'all don't know much about. Don't ask Sue. Anyway. That wants to build my own ministry. Bless God, I know how to do this. Let me buy that mailing list and I'll get this ministry going, bless God. You know, I'm smart. I know how to do this. That guy right there, he has to die daily. You have to put that guy right back on the cross. No, thank you, no. That guy, you're going to stay right on the cross. Oh, but I don't like it here. Good. I'm going to keep you there anyway. Our light affliction, not only the things that the devil throws at you, but which your flesh is always throwing at you. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He's talking about your lifetime. Your whole Christian life, from the time you get born again till the time you're with Jesus. But for a moment. Well, it is when you think about eternity. What if you're 120 years on the planet? 3 billion years from now, that's not going to seem like very long. That's going to seem like a moment of time. I had to keep my body under for that little millisecond compared to eternity. Yeah, it was 120 years on this side. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of, here's our word again, eternal weight of what? Glory. Here we go, that glory of sonship again. See, this is what sons do. This is what our master did. He kept his body under. It was a fight for him to do it God's way. He wrestled with the decision in the garden until he sweat great drops of blood. Don't tell me that was not a war. There was a part of him that did not want to do it. Otherwise, it's a fable. Not when he says, not my will, but thine be done. There was a will in him that was struggling with the will of the Father. Can anyone here relate? And he had to put that will on the cross. Sometimes he had to pray more than once. Sometimes that's not an easy thing to do, to put your will on the cross. That's part of that light affliction. But boy, does it work an eternal weight of glory. An obedient child. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, this is how we live our life, people. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, meaning subject to change. They are temporary. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. You are an eternal child of the living God. He is conforming us to the image of the firstborn. Our part is to behold his glory in a mirror. Not to keep on religiously saying, I know who I am. I can't do it. I haven't prayed enough. Haven't fasted enough. I'm just an old chicken saved by grace. All of that stuff, we've got to let it go. And I don't care if my daddy believed it and his daddy before him believed it and his daddy before him. If it's not the truth, we got to let it go. Read it one more time. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, not hiding behind a veil, beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. And he specifically, I see it so clear, he's talking about that glory of sonship. Because that's the one that you have. That's the one he says, I'm giving it to you. You have that same glory. You're a child of God as much as he is. That's what he's saying. That's what we've got to believe. That doesn't mean you're walking in the fullness or the maturity of all of that. But you're his child just as much as Jesus. The human Jesus. The man we see in Son of Man, Son of God, walking through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is your pattern. That glory that he received, we received it. Amen. We can't listen to religion anymore talking us out of our inheritance. We got to go forth and possess the land. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank God we're not alone. I thank God we're not orphans having to find our way through a hostile land. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. One thing I added to my vocabulary, the church today needs an orphanectomy. Because most of the church, and I did too for years, felt like an orphan. Even though I knew I was born again, I knew he loved me, I felt like an orphan. I could not find his leadership. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We're not alone in our journey. We can put our hand in the hand of the Comforter, the Helper. And he's going to lead us into the fullness of our inheritance. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Okay, I think that's enough for tonight. The glory of sonship changed into that same image. That same image. My Bible didn't say that. I'd never believe it. But it does. All right, I got to quit. I'm just going to preach it again.